Do you know a high school student who would make a great pastor, teacher, deaconess, director of parish music, or director of Christian education? Tell them about Careers for Christ Weekend, Friday, October 12th through Sunday, October 14th at Concordia University, Chicago. This even includes a group outing to downtown Chicago. Check it out at cuchicago.edu/c4c. That's cuchicago.edu/c4c.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Probably everyone who was alive and has conscious memory of the day yesterday was at least thinking about it. Many people were posting on social media about it. People were writing about it. They were talking about it with their friends and their family. I remember where I was on that September 11th in 2001. I was in the bathroom shaving, listening to National Public Radio. I was getting ready to go to work and getting ready to go and do a radio program. And I was interrupted as I heard the news was interrupted. And when I heard what the story was, I thought, wow, I have to see what this looks like. A plane has hit one of the towers in New York. Went out, turned on a little black and white television. We still had one in those days. And was promptly interrupted by a phone call from a former parishioner asking if I would do a wedding for her daughter. And after that conversation was over, I said, do you know what just happened? And she said, no, I wasn't watching TV. I said, well, I think the trade towers in New York have been hit by airplanes. And so we ended our conversation. And the rest of the day is a blur. I went to work and we talked about nothing but what had happened that morning. So we have our memories. How should we frame those memories? Simply as a day you'll never forget, you'll always remember where you were? Joining us to talk about remembering the 2001 terrorist attacks, Pastor Hans Feeney, pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, senior contributor to The Federalist and author of a recent column there titled, We Should Remember 9/11 Through the Lens of Good Friday. Hans, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Where were you and what was happening to you on that day? What was your experience?
Yeah, I was a junior in college at Indiana University at the time, it was kind of an odd, I had insomnia the night before and probably didn't get to sleep until maybe 6 o'clock in the morning or so, and so I woke up around 10 and came out, and my roommate, who normally would have been off at class, was glued to the TV, and I'm seeing these images of smoke emanating from the Twin Towers. They were sort of looping the footage of what had happened, and I just sort of sat there stunned and asked him what happened, and he explained the situation to me, and so I sat down and I watched TV for probably, I don't know, another maybe 4 hours or so, and then ended up going off to my third class or so of the day. It was the first class I ended up going to. I just kind of blew the other two off because I didn't feel like I could kind of pull myself away from the television. And so once kind of it seemed like the attacks were done and that we were just kind of waiting to figure out a little bit more information, I kind of felt the urge to talk about it. So I went off to one of my classes, and I figured that's probably what the professor would give us a chance to do. And that's what ended up happening. That was kind of the centerpiece of the article that I wrote for The Federalist.
The conversation there, you say, very quickly turned toward this is all our fault kind of a thing, didn't it?
Yeah, it was a bit of an odd thing. So, it was, you know, on the one hand, people knew it was a terrorist attack, and we didn't really know kind of what things were going on beyond that. So, yeah, my professor just kind of opened it up, and I remember one young lady in the class basically just saying, this is our fault because of all of our interventionist foreign policy and a handful of other phrases I'm sure that she had heard tossed around by like-minded people that she wanted to like her. And we, most of us in the class just kind of sat there, and as I kind of talk about in the piece, largely because there's, it's what I call the Pharisaical we. It's that trick that people pull where you sort of collectively repent for sins that you yourself don't actually think that you're guilty of. This happens a lot of times at at church conventions and stuff like that, where we lament sins. We repent of our sins of racism or of other some sort of collective thing, where the person saying it, you can tell, doesn't actually cop to those sins himself, doesn't admit to those sins himself. But it's sort of a dirty rhetorical trick you can play that allows you to heap tons and tons of condemnation upon the people that you don't like by sort of deceptively aligning yourself with them. And that was, I think, very kind of clear to us, to most of us in the class, that that's what she was doing. And there were kind of a handful of other kids in class who sort of praised her for her bravery of saying this. But for the most part, it was just it was a vicious thing to say. It was as people are still kind of buried underneath rubble, and as you're spouting off this stuff from the safety of almost 800 miles away from New York City at that point, it was just rather absurd and sad, and it was just, to me, I'll always remember that as just kind of feeling sorry for someone that in the midst of such horror, that the response was just to immediately jump to a place of self-righteousness.
Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest. We're talking about remembering the 2001 terrorist attacks. When we come back, the framework through which Christians can remember both that and the other terrible tragedies that confront us in life. He's pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, and creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire. He's a senior contributor to The Federalist, and he's written there recently, "We Should Remember 9/11 Through the Lens of Good Friday."
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Do you know a high school student who would make a great pastor, teacher, deaconess, director of parish music, or director of Christian education? Tell them about Careers for Christ Weekend, Friday, October 12th through Sunday, October 14th at Concordia University, Chicago. This even includes a group outing to downtown Chicago. Check it out at cuchicago.edu/c4c. That's cuchicago.edu/c4c. The number 4C.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
You can't do it all. You're just not strong enough, smart enough, organized enough, driven enough. You're not enough, and you hate it. If this sounds like your life, check out the September edition of The Lutheran Witness. Join Jonathan Fisk, Brian Katchelmeyer, and others as you learn to think more deeply about time and your own human limitations. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about remembering the 2001 terrorist attacks. Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest. The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for September, is written about another tragedy that often befalls us. That is the loss of an infant or miscarriage. The same kind of framework of Good Friday applies there as well. The book is called Never Forsaken, God's Mercy in the Midst of Miscarriage. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for Never Forsaken, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. So Hans, how do we rightly frame these things? We have these the memories of these things, and we can go back and do the retrospectives, and we can ask questions about why it happened. But why is Good Friday the lens through which we ought to be seeing not only 9/11, but all the other things that befall us, the evils in this world?
Yeah, well, Good Friday is what enables us to really understand what human nature is and what our standing is before God. Adolf Kaeberle, in his great work, The Quest for Holiness, talks about this, where he begins one of his chapters with a line that's something along the lines of that basically after describing all of these different attempts to make ourselves holy and acceptable in the eyes of God, that they all are dashed to pieces by the cross, but then from the ruins of this perished glory, I think is the phrase he uses, God begins to speak a word of comfort. And 9/11 was a day where we came to see the absolute horror of humanity and some of the worst things imaginable that human beings can do, and a murderous, hateful heart that's driven really out of self-righteousness and out of the belief that man can make himself pleasing to God, and that if man gets in his mind the perverse notion that his God delights in the blood of his neighbor, he'll do anything to shed that blood. And yet what Good Friday shows us is that the true God doesn't delight to see the blood of our neighbor, but rather he delights to see the blood of his Son covering us at the cross. And so Good Friday shows us how it is that we are all sinners. We are all capable of the kind of evil that we saw enacted on September 11, 2001. We are all corrupt and utterly incapable of pleasing God. And yet, out of love for us, God chose to love us. He chose to come into the world that we had filled with war and violence and hatred, and to give us his peace and his joy and his love. And that through that cross, that enables us to know how it is that we should see our fellow man. That all of us are sinners who deserve nothing but condemnation, and yet God chose to love us and chose to give his Son to die for us upon the cross. And because of that, we should seek to because God has given us peace in the blood of his Son, that we ought to strive to share that peace and to give that peace with those, with our neighbors.
The question it may not answer is any particular answer to the question, why?
So, you know, this is kind of one of the challenges of being a Christian, is that on the one hand, the Bible talks a great deal about evil, but it doesn't talk specifically about always about certain instances of evil. So in other words, we can know why it is that, you know, for example, that that an evil act like Joseph's brothers leaving him for dead and throwing him down a well, we can know why that happened because the scriptures talk about it, and Joseph tells us that they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, and that God was going to use it to build up his people in safety in Egypt throughout the days after his death, and it would make them into a mighty nation there. You know, events like September 11th, we know why they happen in the sense that we know that there are evil people in this world, that the devil is prowling around seeking to devour people's hearts, that those who labor in the service of false gods will do wicked things in order to please those false gods. But we don't kind of know, you know, why is it that these events happen on this specific day? Why did the people who were on, you know, plane A survive, and yet the people on plane B were victims of the hijackers? We don't really have a clear answer to that. And in all of that, we just simply have to trust in the mercy of Jesus and to recognize all men are sinners, and we all deserve death and condemnation. And yet, out of his great and profound mercy, God has sent Christ into this world to lift up those who are destroyed through acts of violence, and to give eternal life to those who believe in him, and to give us the promise that no amount of sorrow or hatred in this world can ever separate us from the joy and the love that he's won for us through his dying breath at Calvary.
I was watching some of the retrospective, both local and national, yesterday, and it was some of it was moving and some of it was kind of trite. The common theme that I saw in some of it, most of it, was, and the framework that at least the media was putting on it, was 9/11 now, this far removed, it's about the triumph of the human spirit. There was a lot of talking about the first responders who went up the stairs and the people who gave their lives knowing that they probably wouldn't come out of that building alive. They tended to de-emphasize the cause of the attacks in Washington, D.C. and New York City and elsewhere, but focus more on, as I said, the triumph of the human spirit. There's a kernel of truth there, Hans, because there was an awful lot of self-sacrifice on that day. Ordinary people, not even paid to do it, who were willing to say, all right, this is it for me, but maybe I can save a few other people. But why is that insufficient? As good as it is, as far as it goes, why is that insufficient?
Well, yeah, it's insufficient in that it's kind of a sort of a half-finished depiction of the cross, really, I suppose, and that a man laying down his life for people who are needing to be rescued from fire, needing to be rescued from the rubble, is a beautiful thing to see. It's a wonderful act of civic righteousness, but it's sort of a shadow of the great and true act of selflessness and the truest act of love from the cross, where it's not just that Jesus lays down his life for those who are his neighbors, and it's not just that Jesus lays down his life for those who are innocent victims of senseless violence. It's that Jesus lays down his life for those who actively hated him, for those who despised him, for those who were responsible for his death through on account of their sins. And yet, out of love and mercy for those people, that's precisely what it is that Jesus does, is he gives his life and he makes himself the one to suffer death in order that they can live forever. And that's the great beauty of the gospel that we saw some beautiful kind of reflections of in the self-sacrificial nature of so many people on September 11, 2001. But it's found in all of its purity on the cross.
Pastor Hans Feeney is pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire. He's senior contributor to The Federalist and author of a recent column titled We Should Remember 9/11. Through the lens of Good Friday. Read it for yourself under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Hans, thank you very much.
Thank you.
In hour two of Issues Etc., Pastor Tom Baker joins us. On the other side of the break, we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson in Genesis 39. Joseph, who has a life of trouble, suffers some of the deepest trouble of his life. He is, well, elevated after having been sold as a slave. And then within very little time, having been elevated, having succeeded, he's back in prison again. We'll find out why this is about cross-bearing too. Then Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will join us. We'll talk about a reform plan of Islamic institutions in France.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performance Fitness 618.com.